Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. John tells us in the first chapter of his gospel that Jesus came to bring us grace. John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And of course, we see that grace of Jesus all throughout the book of John. For instance, 2 weeks ago, we read from John chapter 3, where Jesus told us about his abundant grace. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:16 and 17. Last week, we read John 4 about the Samaritan woman, an outcast from her own people, an outcast of outcasts, and she received unexpected grace from the Lord. And this week, we read John 9, about a blind man who receives a miraculous healing, but more importantly, he receives amazing grace from the Lord. What Jesus does is truly miraculous as he pours out his grace and mercy upon the man who was born blind. But instead of celebrating this miracle, many of the people who witnessed the miracle spent time judging Jesus and judging the man who was healed. As sinful human beings, we love to pronounce judgment on other people. We love to be judgy. The people of Jesus' time were no different. So let's take a closer look at John chapter 9. First of all, we see, number one, the disciples love to judge. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" The disciples ask a question that people still ask today when they're confronted with sad and tragic events. Whose fault is it? When tragedy strikes, we want to know who to point the finger at, who deserves the blame. Here they give Jesus two options and only two. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Disciples believe that this tragedy of the man being born blind must be because of a specific sin, one that either the parents committed or the man committed while he was still in the womb. Jesus answers, neither. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. That's not how it works. The disciples are right about one thing. Sin is the cause of the man's blindness. The reason for all the bad things that happen, whether it's pain or suffering, disabilities, disaster, disease, or death, is because of sin. But the sin can't be pinpointed to any one person because all of us sin. We all sin, so all of us are partially responsible for all the bad things in the world today. When we see tragedies and sufferings, it should be a reminder to ourselves, not only of all the sin in the world, but it should lead us to our own repentance. Repentance for the sin in our own hearts and lives that contributes to the suffering of the human race. It's easy to point the finger at others and think that we are innocent, but none of us are innocent. That's what the disciples do. Notice they point the finger at the man's parents or the man himself, but never at themselves. They're quick to judge others, but they don't bother to judge themselves, their own actions, and their own hearts. God doesn't want us to judge others. He wants us to look at the sin in our own lives and confess it. Now, when Jesus sees this man who is suffering, he doesn't see it as an opportunity to judge. He sees it as an opportunity to do the work of God, an opportunity to show grace and mercy. He puts mud on the man's eyes, tells him to wash in the pool of Siloam, and when he does so, through the power of water and Jesus' word, the man comes back seeing. His eyes are opened. He once was blind, but now he sees. Jesus, whenever he sees someone hurting, sees it as an opportunity to help, an opportunity to reach out with grace and mercy. Number one, the disciples loved to judge. Number two, the Pharisees loved to judge. When we talked about judging others, nobody was guilty of doing that more often or more unfairly than the Pharisees. As soon as the Pharisees have heard that Jesus has done this amazing miracle and heals the man born blind, immediately they begin an investigation. They don't celebrate. They don't praise God for doing a great miracle. They don't give thanks to God for his grace and mercy. Nope, they launch an investigation. They talk to the neighbors. Then they interrogate the man who was healed. Then they interrogate his parents. and then they interrogate the man who was healed again. They turn the whole situation into an episode of CSI Jerusalem. They want to try to dig up dirt on Jesus, to invalidate the miracle, to invalidate his ministry, and to invalidate him as a person. The only thing they can use against Jesus is that he healed on the Sabbath. Jesus many times healed on the Sabbath. He knew that by doing so, he wasn't breaking God's law, but actually fulfilling it. Every day, even the Sabbath, is a good day to help someone who is truly in need. That's what the law means when it says to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus fulfills the law perfectly in every way. But the Pharisees hate him so much, they're going to use any excuse to condemn him. They take even this act of grace and mercy and try to condemn him for it. Their hatred and judgmental attitude towards Jesus eventually spreads to their dealing with the man who was healed. Without talking to Jesus, they have already judged and condemned him, and they want the man who was healed to do the same. They want him to lie and say Jesus didn't really heal him. But the man continues to tell the truth. John 9:24-25 says, "So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.' He answered, 'Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.'" Man continues to tell the truth. He doesn't know for sure who Jesus is yet, but one thing he does know: "I once was blind, but now I see." That is the amazing grace of Jesus. This makes the Pharisees even more angry. They start to insult him and mock him. And when the man who was healed tells him again that Jesus healed him, that only a man sent from God could do such a miracle, the Pharisees really lose it. They answered him, "You were born in utter sin. Would you dare to teach us?" And they cast him out. They fell into the same thinking that the disciples did. "You must have been born in sin. How dare you lecture us?" They are full of judgment, anger, and hatred. And they cast him out, which means they excommunicated him. They excommunicated him for telling the truth. The disciples love to judge, and the Pharisees love to judge. But we also love to judge. That's number three. Now, you may notice the disciples and the Pharisees are polar opposites. The disciples believe in Jesus. The Pharisees are unbelievers. The disciples love Jesus. The Pharisees are consumed with hatred of Jesus. But they have this in common. Both the disciples and the Pharisees love to judge others. That's because all humans are sinners. And therefore, all humans love to judge other people. That's why Jesus warned against the temptation to judge other people in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7:1-2. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Unless we have a specific office or authority given by God to judge others, like for instance, being a judge in a court, we are not allowed to judge other people. Why? Because sin isn't just a matter of what people do, it's a matter of the heart, what's going on inside a person's heart. Because man looks at the outward appearance, but only God sees the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16:7. We can't see in people's hearts, so we are no place to judge them. We can only see into one person's heart, our own. And that's why God wants us to confess our sins, not the sins of others. But we're human too. And as sinful human beings, we love to judge others. When we put the focus on the sins of others, it takes the focus off our own sins and the ways we sin against the Lord. Judging others makes us look good, both in our own eyes and in the eyes of others. It gives us a feeling of pride and superiority. It makes us smug and feel holier than thou. I may not be perfect, but at least I'm better than that guy. And it keeps us from seeing and confessing our own sin. We need to confess our own sins so that we can be forgiven. Psalm 32:5 said, "I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." When we confess, God promises to forgive us. Only when we confess our sins do we then receive what we need, the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, he has every right to judge, but it's not what he wants to do. What Jesus delights in doing more than anything else is to show his grace and mercy to people. Number four, Jesus loves to show grace and mercy. John makes a point in his gospel from the very beginning that the reason Jesus came into the world was not to bring law, but grace. John 1:17, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to in order that the world might be saved through him. And then John 12:47, Jesus himself says, I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. This is the mission of Jesus, not to condemn the world. The world's condemned already, but to save it. He is the savior of all who believe in him. And it's exactly what he accomplishes through his perfect life of obedience, his sacrificial death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection from the dead. God does not desire the death of the sinner. He desires that all people would repent, they would turn and be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's true that Jesus, as we confess in the creed, will come to judge the living and the dead. He's the only one worthy to do this, and God has placed all things in his hands. But Jesus doesn't delight in judgment. He delights in showing grace and mercy. James 2:13 tells us, mercy triumphs over judgment. The Lord delights in showing his grace and mercy. He showed it to the Pharisee named Nicodemus. He showed it to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he shows it to this man whom he has healed from blindness. And most importantly, he shows that same grace and mercy to you and me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.